Guitar geeks like you and I always want to become better. We want to experience progress day in and day out on our guitar journey. We want to have more fun. We want that progress. We also want to connect with like-minded guitar geeks. And I think there's one genre of music that can do all three of those things. And if you guessed the blues, you're absolutely correct. It is the blues. The blues as a genre is incredible in and of its own right, but it can also be extrapolated into our guitar journey and inform even other genres of music that we're studying. And I've cited three different areas that the blues can help your guitar journey grow within. I think I said that right. Anyways, let's dig right in. The first area that the blues can help you learn is song form, okay? And I'm specifically gonna cite the 12-bar blues song form. So often, when we're learning a new song, this could be any song. I'm talking country songs, pop songs, even, gosh, hip-hop songs if you go down that road. But so often, the 12-bar blues pops up beyond just the barrier of the blues. In fact, if you're thinking, Tone, I think you're correct, but I'm not entirely sure, I'll even have you know that the Batman theme song is a 12-bar blues. Yes, our favorite Batman show. You know, the old school one with Batman and Robin, those guys? That show, the intro, is a 12-bar blues. You can go ahead and count along with it. In fact, it's the same riff repeated, and you can hear the chord changes, and you can actually count the 12-bar blues. I challenge you to do that. In fact, that first riff goes for four times, then the second riff, which sounds the same but a little higher in pitch, goes for two more times, which is a total of six bars. Back to that first riff for two more bars, brings us to eight. The final four bars, we go to the five chord, the four chord, and then two more on that home one chord. So it is indeed a 12-bar blues, and kind of stunning. When I was doing research on this episode, I thought to myself, huh, it really is a 12-bar blues. So I challenge you to find other 12-bar blues that aren't in the blues genre. The second way the blues genre can influence your guitar journey beyond the blues is your understanding and relationship with rhythm and timing. I think the blues is the best experimentation ground for you to introduce licks or riffs into your playing. How often when you're strumming a chord do you want to go into a riff or a lick, but you're kind of scared because it might mess up your timing? The blues provides this nice cushy blanket to do that very thing. In fact, we're going to look at an exercise, a 12-bar blues here from the upcoming 5-day blues challenge that I'm going to give you a little bit more details on later. But this very riff is a blues riff that actually is repeated for an entire 12-bar blues. So you get this sense of timing with it, and also you get an understanding of, okay, this riff lasts for two measures, and then we do that again, and then it goes to the next chord. It's the same riff, just moved to a different location. Here's an example. We'll go ahead and take a look at that 12-bar blues riff right now, and you'll be able to see that the riff starts in the middle of the neck, and then when it moves to the four chord, it actually goes up towards the body, and that's coming up right here in just a moment here. There you go. So you're at the four chord. Same exact riff, just moved to a different location. Then it goes back to the middle of the neck, and then for the five chord, it actually hits down by the nut. For the four chord, we go back towards the body, and then it ends up in the middle of the guitar neck. Now, the important thing is not necessarily the riff, but the time that it takes up. Once you understand the time that it takes up, it gives you this wonderful view, this wonderful lens to view all of music through. As long as you know the riff, how much time it takes up, you can start to add it to your playing with confidence that it's actually gonna work. And I think the best testing grounds for that are indeed the blues. And then the last thing that the blues can teach you that really informs your entire guitar journey is how to improvise. So often the word improvisation is this scary word, this guitar solo word where people say it and you're like, oh, I don't know how to do that. Or you look at a guitarist that you admire. In fact, we're going to be looking at five guitarists that I admire here later in the episode, but we'll get to that. So often you look at a guitar hero of yours and you think, God, how do they improvise just off the cuff like that? Seemingly just comes from the top of their head and just out of nowhere. Well, they've practiced it. And one of the best ways for you to practice soloing, for you to practice improvisation, is with the blues. If you take a 12-bar blues backing track, pair that with a minor pentatonic scale in the same exact key, it provides this wonderful, again, experimentation ground for you to try out new ideas. And I have a little bit of a story that I want to share with you. This last holiday, I was at Whitney's parents' house, and her dad and I sat down to play guitar. Now, we haven't done this, save for maybe one other time. In fact, when I was leaving the house the first night we were there, he's like, hey, tomorrow, we're going to play guitar. We're actually going to jam together. And I'm like, you got it. You don't have to ask me twice. So we sat down to jam. 2.5 hours go by. Now, mind you, we got out of cooking duty and dish duty, which is great. So just a side benefit of playing guitar at the holidays. But we sat down and played a 12-bar blues, the same 12-bar blues for roughly 2.5 hours. Now you might think, gosh, that sounds kind of mind-numbing. It totally wasn't, because we were trading off solos. We were both trying new things. We were both trying things we weren't necessarily comfortable with, but because the 12-bar blues is so forgiving, we were able to try the stuff out, have a blast, and it really created some new ideas for, I think, both of us. So improvisation is one of those sneaky ways that the blues can really help your guitar journey as a whole. So just in a quick recap, the way the blues can help your guitar journey is, number one, it informs you about song form, how a song is actually constructed, and the 12-bar blues is a great example. Number two, it informs and helps your relationship with rhythm and timing. And number three, it teaches you how to improvise, because it's the most forgiving atmosphere to improvise and solo within. Now, those are only three aspects in which the blues can help you. And I know I've probably left some out, or maybe you've experienced a benefit that I didn't even list. Please, in the comments below, let me know, because I'd love to hear from you and how the blues helped you on your guitar journey. And also, while I'm at it, I do want to let you know that at the end of the month, January 27th, we have a 5-day blues challenge coming up. This is learning a new 12-bar blues every day for an entire week. It's totally free. I'll give you all the details here on the Acoustic Tuesday show, so make sure to stay tuned. And again, it launches January 27th, the last week of the month. It's a great way to pick up some speed going into the new year and gain some good positive momentum. All right, coming up on today's Acoustic Tuesday show, you've already learned how the blues can help you in your guitar journey. We're also going to look at 5 iconic electric guitar players, electric blues guitar players that were caught red-handed playing acoustic guitar. There's some footage here that you absolutely have to see. It's stuff that I was just amazed that I found. And then lastly, we're going to look at an artist whose art can grace your guitar den's walls. It's actually really cool stuff, all focused on the blues. That's what today's episode is all about, and that's all coming up right after this. I'm Tony Policastro, and this is the Acoustic Tuesday Show. Guitar geeks, unite. Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 125. This is the show where we're going to learn about acoustic guitar gear, discover acoustic artists, and get inspired to live your very best acoustic life. As with all episodes of Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to share with you my guitar geek list for a week. But since we're talking about acoustic guitar, since we're talking about progress, and since this is a new year, I wanted to offer up, well, a challenge for you during this week's practice sessions. Your practice sessions this week, I want you to kick off and spend a minute on playing a warm-up exercise. What is a warm-up exercise? Well, a warm-up exercise is something that gets your hands talking to one another. In a minute here, you're going to see exactly what I'm talking about. In fact, it's a very non-musical exercise, but it's one that gets your fretting hand speaking with your picking hand. And this is something that I want you to do to kick off your guitar practice sessions with. Why? Because it gets you comfortable with the guitar again, right? For the day. It's the first encounter with the guitar, unless you sleep with your guitar. That's a whole nother story. But what it allows you to do is get confidence and get this kind of nice feeling of the guitar under your fingers again for the day, so that when you go on further in your practice session and work on your intention, things will go a little bit smoother, a little bit easier. Your fingers will be warmed up. So a warm-up exercise has so many different benefits. And here's an example. This is one that I like to do that gets my picking hand kind of primed for the day, gets it nice and accurate, and gets my fretting hand kind of a little bit more agile, a little bit more nimble. And what you'll notice when you start integrating this into your practice habit is that your fingers do the things you want them to. The stretches come a little bit easier. Your fingers move a little bit quicker. You have a little bit more finger strength. And your pick, or fingers, if you're a finger picker, become more accurate because you're developing that muscle memory at the beginning of every single practice session. So go ahead and give that a try when you sit down to practice today, tomorrow. Try it for a full week and see if you reap the benefits, because I'm pretty sure you will. Now, moving right along, I want to ask you a guitar geek trivia question. Now, This Guitar Geek trivia question is one that focuses on my favorite artist of all time. So without further ado, here is your Guitar Geek trivia question. Now, again, this artist is my favorite and is one that really got me into the guitar in the first place. So here's the question. How much did Johnny Winter get paid for his August 1969 performance at the Woodstock Festival? And you might not realize he played at Woodstock, but he indeed did play at Woodstock. Did he get paid A, $500, B, $1,200, C, $2,250, or D, $3,750? Go ahead and ponder that question, and at the end of the show, I'll be sure to give you the answer. And if you're not familiar with Johnny Winter, don't worry, because, well, I have a feeling he'll pop up a little bit later in today's show, among some other pretty iconic blues players. In fact, if you like the blues, today's show is right up your alley, because we're about to look at five iconic electric blues guitar players that were caught red-handed playing an acoustic guitar. Now, this list was really tough for me to make because I had to whittle down a list of amazing guitar players to ones that were, first, most known for their electric guitar playing, and then second, I had to find footage of them actually playing an acoustic guitar. So it was a tough list to make. I had to make some cuts, and I'm a little... Well, I think I whittle it down to a nice list, but you can be the judge. Let's dig right in. Coming in at number five. Now, this is a guitarist that I was first exposed to when I saw him in a documentary. The guitarist is Buddy Guy, and you might be thinking, Tone, you lived in Chicago. Buddy Guy's Legends was just right there in the south side of the Loop. Yes, it's true. I've been to Buddy Guy's Legends. It's an amazing place. But I first heard of Buddy Guy when I watched the documentary Festival Express. This was a documentary about the Grateful Dead, the band, Janis Joplin, Buddy Guy. I think that's everybody. They toured through Canada on a train. And the documentary was just assembled of all this footage. It was kind of like being a fly on the wall in the train. Unreal. But anyways, the Buddy Guy performance just floored me, and I thought, this guy is the electric guitar. He is the electric blues. And then I saw this clip of him playing Hoochie Coochie Man on a Martin acoustic guitar, and I thought, holy smokes, I caught you red-handed, Buddy Guy. Here it is. You're gonna make pretty women go and jump and shout. In the world, I'm gonna know what's it all about, 'cause you know I'm here. Girl, I know you know I'm here. You know I'm your hoochie-coochie man. Everybody knows that I'm here. Now, I'm pretty sure that's a Martin D18, but I'm not entirely sure. It's like a little grainy, so I can't quite see the brand on the headstock, but my sources tell me it's likely a Martin D18. Now, speaking of Martin, Buddy Guy actually has a signature Martin guitar covered in polka dots. Imagine that. An electric guitar player with an acoustic guitar that's a signature model. So darn cool. Anyways, moving right along to our number four, iconic electric guitar player that was caught playing acoustic blues. And this is none other than B.B. King. Yes, B.B. King. The man that is just most associated with these breathtaking, space-filled solos, these bends that just pull at your heartstrings, and this confidence with the electric guitar that just is unshakable. I think of electric blues, and I think of, well, quite honestly, I think of B.B. King. I think of Lucille, that iconic electric guitar that he owns. But B.B. King actually played acoustic guitar as well. In fact, this was one that I really went out on a limb for because I wasn't quite sure. But I found this footage. This was from an interview, I think it was in the 70s, maybe the late 70s, of him playing an acoustic guitar and talking about the blues. Here it is.
Everything leads me back to the feeling of the blues, or the feeling that I get from playing or singing the blues or hearing others singing play. In fact, I think life itself is blues. The earliest sounds of blues that I can remember was, while in the fields while people would be picking cotton or chopping cotton or something. Usually one guy would be plowing by himself, or maybe one guy would take his hoe and chop way out in front of everybody else. And usually you would hear this guy sing. Oh, I wake up in the morning.
How cool is it we have this iconic blues player who is known for his electric blues on an iconic guitar, Lucille, playing an iconic acoustic guitar, a Gibson J45. I mean, that's a triple threat of iconography. I think that's the right word. I'm going to go with it. Iconography. Yep, iconography. It's knowledge is power. Just G.I. Joe said it, and I'm going to say it too. Knowing is half the battle, and other cool one-liners that I should throw in there. Anyways, let's move on to our number three electric blues player that was caught red-handed playing the acoustic guitar. And when you think of electric blues, undoubtedly this name crosses your mind. And yes, it is Stevie Ray Vaughan. Stevie Ray Vaughan is one of my personal guitar idols, and probably yours as well. In fact, I think Stevie Ray Vaughan brought the blues to tons of people. My brother actually got me interested in Stevie Ray Vaughan. In fact, he was at the August concert at Alpine Valley in Wisconsin right before Stevie Ray Vaughan unfortunately passed away. And I have my brother to thank for turning me on to Stevie Ray Vaughan, and I'm super, super excited. I remember when I was in college getting this DVD, Live at El Macambo. It was filmed in 1983, and it's one of those concerts that you need to see. So I'm recommending this to all of you. Because of copyright issues, I can't play any of Stevie Ray Vaughan's electric songs right now. But good news is this. I found an incredible piece of footage of him playing acoustic. Now you're saying to yourself, Tone. You featured Stevie Ray Vaughan playing acoustic guitar before. He played MTV Unplugged. He played a Guild 12 string. It was amazing. It was even the subject of your trivia question. I know that to be true, but you have to check out this piece of footage. It's from a French TV station. They were interviewing Stevie Ray Vaughan. He happens to have an old 1929 Gibson L1, and he plays it in such a way that is mesmerizing. I want you to watch his picking hand and see if you can notice this upstroke thing that he does. It seems inhuman. It seems like something that humans aren't supposed to do, but he does it. It sounds amazing. It's like an exclamation point on the notes. Anyways, without further ado, here's the clip of Stevie Ray Vaughan playing a Gibson L1. Awesome clip to watch, and I hope you saw what I was talking about with his picking hand. He does this like upwards rake that seems to add an exclamation point to whatever he's playing, and it's like I tried to do it and I just don't have that control on the upstroke. On the downstroke, that's a different thing, but he's doing it on the upstroke, and I think it's kind of one of those quite possibly signature things, and it's so cool to see him do it on an acoustic. And one more thing before I move to our next player, you know, seeing Stevie Ray Vaughan play that guitar and seeing the posture that he exhibits, it to me, that when I think of blues, that's what I think of. He's holding the guitar, his head's down, the hat's over him, and it just reads as cool. So that's all I wanted to say about that. Now, interesting series of events here. So we looked at B.B. King. We saw Stevie Ray Vaughan playing with B.B. King. Then we moved to Stevie Ray Vaughan. Now, this next guitarist, number two on our list, was a huge influence to Stevie Ray Vaughan. And if you guessed it was Jimi Hendrix, you're correct. And that is our number two electric blues player caught playing the acoustic guitar. Jimi Hendrix, I don't know if I even have to describe his electric playing. As a guitar geek, you probably heard it at one point in time. You got Voodoo Child, you've got Foxy Lady, you've got his infamous rendition of the Star Spangled Banner in the morning of Woodstock. I think it was Sunday morning or Saturday morning. It was one of the mornings. I'm sure the people that were at the festival don't remember either. But anyways, he was caught playing acoustic guitar as well. In fact, there's a documentary out where Jimi Hendrix is playing an acoustic guitar, and it is just a glorious sight. To see somebody that you associate with the electric guitar playing an acoustic is one of these intimate moments that is so cool. This picture here you're looking at is him playing a Gibson. I think it's actually an L1 also, similar to the one Stevie Ray Vaughan was playing, but he's playing it at a house party, and of course he's rocking the cool hat, as he normally did. But this documentary that I'm talking about, this picture is actually taken from it. He's playing a 12-string. He's playing the song Hear My Train A-Comin', and it's just mesmerizing. I remember first watching it and thinking, wow, this is one of my electric guitar idols playing the acoustic guitar and doing so in a way that is jaw-dropping. I mean, you watch him play this. First of all, I think it's a Gibson 12-string. I might be wrong. I was just looking at the headstock shape, and I was thinking, maybe it's not a Gibson. I'm not entirely sure. But anyways, when you watch this footage of him playing Hear My Train A-Comin', we can't play it, unfortunately, because of copyright issues, but I encourage you to look it up on YouTube. Watch the footage, because the way that he plays, it's a great example of seeing somebody play the melody and singing along with it, and it being so incredibly effective. So if you visit acousticlife.tv/AT125, you'll be able to see the clip of him playing Hear My Train A-Comin', and I think you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Seeing Jimi Hendrix play this is something that every guitar geek must do, especially if you're an acoustic guitar geek. Now, talk about full circle moments. Let's get to our number one electric blues guitar player that was caught playing the acoustic guitar, and I have to say, you know, it's pretty cool because this individual had not only played with Jimi Hendrix once, but twice. They didn't share the stage at Woodstock, but they were both booked at Woodstock, and they played a New York club. It was Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison, and our number one electric blues player, none other than Johnny Winter. Johnny Winter is the single electric player that is responsible for me getting into the blues, and part of me is infatuated with Johnny Winter. Number one, he played a Gibson Firebird, and I love the shape. I think it's an iconic guitar. Number two, his voice and his playing is just mesmerizing. You know it's Johnny Winter when you hear like three notes. He plays through a Music Man amp, cranked up to 10, the treble's blasted, he plays through a phaser, it sounds amazing. And the third reason, the guy wears elbow capes. There's no single performer in the world that sported elbow capes the way that Johnny Winter did. He's a guitar superhero in my mind, and I'm pretty sure he's probably one in your mind as well. And we most associate him with playing the electric guitar. However, I want to call your attention to an album cover. It was called, it was Johnny Winter's Progressive Blues Experiment, and in that album cover, he's looking at himself in the reflection of an old steel body National Resonator. And I thought to myself, man, it'd be so cool to find footage of Johnny Winter playing an old school National Resonator. Well, I did, and I'm happy to share it with you right now. So this is Johnny Winter. This was a documentary done, again, for another French TV station, I believe. And here he is in a living room playing an old National Tricone, playing the Catfish Blues. Without further ado, here's Johnny Winter.
Johnny Winter.
Oh, if I was a catfish, no swimming in the deep blue sea, I'd have all you good looking women, sure enough, fishing after me.
I have no words for that. I could watch that little snippet on loop for probably an entire day and still be smiling at the end of the day. It's one of those, you can just tell he's just in the song. He's just in it in that moment, and it's just a beautiful thing to see. It's amazing to listen to. So Johnny Winter had to come in at number one. Now, I do realize there are a ton of electric blues players out there that play acoustic guitar, which is why I'm asking for your help. In the comments below, let me know who I left off the list. Now, be kind. I'm asking you to be kind because I know. Okay, Eric Clapton's not on the list. Okay, we can. I know. I just had to be choosy. I had to be picky. I wanted to pick some off the beaten path players. I know that Muddy Waters isn't on the list. He really needed to be, but I wanted to keep it at five. And I also had to cut Rory Gallagher, and I didn't really want to cut him, but I couldn't have a top eight. What's top eight? That seems strange. So I had to whittle it down to five. And I tried to find some really cool clips of the acoustic side of the equation. So again, I know I missed a ton, and there's probably some that never even crossed my mind, which is why I'm asking for your help. In the comments below, let me know who I missed. Who are some electric guitar players that play the blues that you caught red-handed playing an acoustic guitar? Go ahead and leave those in the comments below, and I'll read through those in a future episode of Acoustic Tuesday. And speaking of those comments, I want to go back to our New Year's Eve episode. It was one of those cool occasions where Acoustic Tuesday happened to be on New Year's Eve, so we could really get together, hang out, and create some resolutions for 2020, our best collective guitar geek community year of acoustic guitar yet. And this first comment comes from Thomas Nowicki, and it's quite timely because he speaks directly to the New Year's resolutions. He says this: Tony is so right about the resolutions, especially resolution number 4. The acoustic trio I play in played at a local senior center recently, and we were playing Dance With Me by Orleans. There was an elderly woman who was an Alzheimer's patient, and I presume her adult daughter, listening. The daughter was singing along to her mother while she held her hands and looked into her eyes, and the mother was looking back at her with rapt attention and smiling. It was not only a beautiful context for the song, but a wonderful moment in my musical career as well. I cannot recommend playing at senior centers and care facilities enough. I just want to thank Thomas for sharing that experience with us. I think it's so cool to, when you're playing music, to actually look at other people that are listening and appreciating what you're doing, and realize that what you're doing is having a deep and sometimes, oftentimes, profound effect on them. And this is a great example. So I just want to thank Thomas for two things. Number one, sharing this experience, but number two, actually getting out and playing at a senior care facility. I think that is so cool, and it really means so much to those folks. It truly does. So thanks again, Thomas. Our next comment comes from Grant Niels, and he says this in regards to the guitar vacation idea. We did the Blues Trail on Highway 61. In Clarksdale, be sure to go to Red's for the real deal juke joint. Close by is the Shack Up Inn, and he included the URL in his YouTube comment. I would strongly recommend checking it out because it looks amazing. And he says, this place, the Shack Up Inn, has a blues church with it, but a quick little side note, no kids. So if you're taking the family on a vacation, maybe either skip this one or, you know, I don't know, take them to like a playground and they can hang out on the playground and you can go to this Shack Up Inn. And he says also B.B. King's Museum is in Indianola, Mississippi. So Grant, I want to thank you for that comment because originally I thought, cool, I'd hit the Delta Blues Museum. But now I find out about the Blues Trail all along Highway 61, which sounds like something I would be very interested in. And I think given the fact that I have an entire year or a good 8 to 9 months, I can convince Whitney that this would be fun for her too. And if you all have any suggestions about how I can convince Whitney or places to go along the way to make her interested in taking the Blues Trail with me, please leave those in the comments. I appreciate all of your help because a lot of you guitar geeks are in a similar spot as I, where you're trying to convince your spouse that it's a good idea, even though it's super guitar geeky, and you got to kind of ride that line. You've all provided me with wonderful recommendations, and I forever am indebted to you all. Anyways, our last group of comments, it's a twofer. These comments were right next to one another, and I just thought, you know what? What the hell with it. I'm going to include both of them. The first one comes from Jim Horst, and he says this: one of the best episodes of AT ever. I really enjoyed the resolutions, all solid and well thought out and presented. Happy 2020 to all the guitar geeks out there. Well, happy 2020 to you, Jim, and hopefully all of us in this guitar geek community can make 2020 our best year of acoustic guitar yet. And the following comment comes from Don Howard, and he says, what a delightful New Year's smorgasbord of acoustic geekiness. Perhaps the best Acoustic Tuesday to date. Now I just have to figure out how much of this I can fit into 2020. Happy New Year to you and all of the TAC/Acoustic Tuesday family. Well, happy New Year to you, Don, as well. And speaking of Don's, the Acoustic Tuesday viewer with the username Daddio307, I think I have this right, he actually sent me a Christmas mug, and I want to thank him for that. I think I misattributed it on an earlier episode, so I wanted to come clean there, so thank you. But really, thank you to all of you Acoustic Tuesday viewers. You all make the show what it is. I cannot thank you enough for your comments, the encouraging discussion, the supportive discussion, and overall your involvement in the show. And speaking of your involvement in the show, there is one Acoustic Tuesday viewer that came through big time. I'm talking about a guitar geek that is wearing her guitar geekiness loud and proud. And this is something that really means a lot to me because I've been asking for it for quite a long time on the Acoustic Tuesday show. Ever since we launched our Acoustic Tuesday merchandise line, I said, hey, guitar geeks, order yourself some merch, take a picture, and send it in. Well, I'd like to introduce you to Amber B. And Amber B. is from Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, and she is the one guitar geek that, since I've been asking for Acoustic Tuesday merchandise shots, she went ahead and sent it in. She has a story to tell as well. Here goes nothing. Hello, Acoustic Tuesday team. This year for Christmas, I received another year of TAC membership, my new favorite Acoustic Tuesday shirt, and my very first 12-string guitar. In this picture, this is the best part, my husband could not get a good shot of the shirt, so this is me over-exaggerating and being a smart aleck. Happy New Year to you all, and Guitar Geeks Unite. Well, thank you so much, Amber, and I have to say, I totally resonate with the smart aleck comment, because very often when I'm posing for a picture, somebody says, hey, could you be a little bit more animated? So I go over the top. So I appreciate that. And I also appreciate you taking the time to not only order an Acoustic Tuesday shirt, but take a picture and send it in at acousticlife.tv in that submit link. So what I'm going to do for you, Amber, where did I put those things? Oh, here they are. I'm going to send you two sets of Santa Cruz parabolic tension strings just because you are a guitar geek indeed, and you are waving that guitar geek flag, and you know what? You submitted a picture. So go ahead and email support@tonypolicastro.com, and we'll get you set up with those strings. We're just going to verify your mailing address so we can get those out to you. And I just want to thank you for watching the show and being a guitar geek. Congratulations on the new 12-string as well. And if you didn't catch those three steps to getting your picture shown on an Acoustic Tuesday episode, it's actually pretty darn easy. First things first, go to acoustictuesday.store. And I want you to pick out your favorite piece of Acoustic Tuesday merchandise. It could be a t-shirt, it could be an Acoustic Life hoodie, it could be any sort of the design, any sort of one of the designs that we have on there. I think I said that right, but I'm not entirely sure. The camera, the avalanche fan, threw a stool during one of my monologues here, and it just threw me off my rocker. I think he's mad because the avalanche have not been doing well lately, but that's besides the point. What I want you to do is go to acoustictuesday.store, pick out your favorite piece of merch, get it shipped to your door, put it on, snap a picture of you wearing that shirt, and then submit it at acousticlife.tv. When you submit it there, I see it come on in, and then I get to feature you on an upcoming episode of Acoustic Tuesday. In fact, I mean, if you're lucky like Amber was, you might get some strings sent your way. I don't know. The verdict's still out if that's going to be a tradition or not. I don't know. I don't have enough pictures, so you got to send me those pictures, and then we'll see if it's a tradition. So I'm just going to leave it at that. And speaking of traditions as well, I do have some mailbag arrivals, some holiday arrivals, and I'm very, very thankful and grateful for all of you Acoustic Tuesday viewers. The first things first, I don't have enough room to share with you what Kenny and Dee Dee sent in. I want to thank Kenny and Dee Dee and the pups for sending us this bag, the TAC HQ North Pole Express delivery bag, filled with chocolate-covered pretzels, this cool trail mix stuff, some caramel popcorn with other chocolatey bits in it, some chocolate-covered, I think, graham crackers. I haven't tapped into those yet. Chocolate-covered cherries. Let me just put it this way. The pretzels are gone. I opened it this morning. The pretzels are gone, and I'm not sorry about it. Nobody on the team got to enjoy the pretzels, but I did. So thank you, Kenny and Dee Dee. Second thank you I have is for Jean XL, and she's a Colorado acoustic guitar geek, and she sent in a very nice family Christmas card. So happy holidays, Merry Christmas to you and your family, Jean. In fact, there is a picture on here of her. I want to say she went to Africa to do a bridge building project, and as a true guitar geek, she brought her close travel guitar with her. And that's not the only place that close travel guitar has seen. In fact, that close travel guitar has also been to Antarctica, I'm pretty sure. I want to say it's the South Pole or the North Pole. Wow, bad geography. I'm just going to say that closed travel guitar and Gene have been all around the world. I'll leave it at that. Take the geography lesson aside because I am not qualified. The next thing that arrived in the mailbag was from Mark S., and he sent this paper bag with a beautiful note on it, and he also sent me string envelopes with a trivia question on each one. And now these were attached to gifts that matched the theme of the trivia question, so let me just get to those real quick. We've got some licorice root, which I haven't chewed on yet, but I'm going to, because I mean, I've never tried it. I think I should. Also, some Potter's, I believe these are little mints, but as a guitar geek, he said, you know what, these tins are perfect for putting your guitar picks in, so I'll take them up on that offer. Thank you for that, Mark. And then some Stroop waffles, which are my favorite running snack, and also native to the Netherlands, I believe. And seriously, I always have these in my pack when I run, pre-knee injury. And then lastly, he also sent in some homemade, I can't remember the name of this, oh shoot, but it's in this nice little heart. It's like a cocoa cream buttery treat. So we'll be enjoying that, and we'll all be full on in sugar comas by the end of today, if not the end of the week. We're gonna have to go through like a 12-step program to get off the sugar. But that doesn't mean we don't appreciate it. We certainly do. And happy holidays to you all. And thank everybody for, again, for your comments, for sending stuff into the studio here. It's always cool to hear from you all and feel the love. Feel the Guitar Geek love. All right. We're about ready to wrap up the show. But I've got one more thing that I want to share with you. Something that I recently found. It was a mistake. I was looking for some Muddy Water stuff. And I found an artist. But it's not an artist that uses a guitar, at least in this art form anyway. He is a musician, a blues musician at that. But the kind of art that I want to share with you right now is painting. Grego Anderson runs a website called mojohand.com. And there's a link to that at acousticlife.tv/AT125. And he makes some of probably the coolest blues folk art I've ever seen. It's the kind of stuff that you look at and you say, wow, that is iconic. That's beautiful. I want that in my guitar den. But then the next question you think, I don't know, that's original art. I don't know if I can afford that for my guitar den. Well, I got to tell you, Grego keeps his pieces extremely affordable for the blues lover, for the musician, and they're really stunning. Let's actually have a look at some of his pieces right now. This first one is a Lightnin' Hopkins piece. This next one is a Muddy Waters one that I was really sad to see that it was sold out of. The next one is a Mississippi John Hurt one, also sold out, unfortunately. And this last one I plan on purchasing right after the show is over today. It's a Robert Johnson piece that is just, I've been thinking about it all darn week through the weekend, and I can't get it out of my head, which means I probably need to have it on my wall. So you can check all those out at mojohand.com. Now, if you're thinking, gosh, this is weird. I don't know who this Grego Anderson guy is. I'd love to put a face to the name. Well, don't worry. I did a little bit of Guitar Geek digging, and I found this. I want to say it was filmed probably in the 90s. It's a series called The Art of Living, and it's a little mini documentary on Grego Anderson, the artist behind these amazing portraits. So here it is.
That's the way it works. The type of art I do is as much to kind of glorify the subject that I'm painting as it is to make someone else happy. You know, I painted the blues guys really as a way to become part of the blues community, because my guitar playing certainly wasn't going to do it. I don't know. I mean, as much as I wanted to think that maybe it would. Some wash days of you long ago. That all goes back to that whole thing about old wood and wanting things to be a certain way, a slower style of life. You know, you can hear that when you hear these old guys play. There's no hurry. They're not trying to impress anyone. This is not about flash, or it's all substance and style. And I try and do that in my art, and I try and do that when I play. And it would be nice if that's the way I try and live my life.
So as you can see, Grego is a pretty talented fella, both on the music side of things, but also on the painting side of things. And as you also could see in that documentary, he uses kind of found objects. Not objects, but he uses like cabinet doors and old pieces of wood to assemble to create his, well, his canvas, if you will, to paint on. And you can also commission works by him. If you go to his website again, it's mojohand.com. You can find that at acousticlife.tv/AT125. You can actually say, hey, Grego, can you make me a painting of Johnny Winter? Oh, you just gave me an idea. I just gave me an idea. We gave me an idea. We gave us an idea. Anyways, make sure to check out Grego's work. It's really exceptional and it's stunning. It's so cool. And his involvement with the blues and his commitment to the blues and representing it in a way that helps other people discover it and helps other people appreciate it is pretty awesome and truly guitar geeky. So thanks, Grego, for making amazing, amazing work. Well, that pretty much wraps up the show, aside from one last important piece of business. Now, during that break, the man of mystery, our video, our Colorado Avalanche fan, we can call him, his name's Kyle, we discussed the extent of the stool that he kicked during the show. And he says, I'm so sorry. And I said, don't worry about it. But the funny thing is that Kyle's operating in a pretty small area back there, and the stool just kept tumbling. I don't know how it kept tumbling. But anyways, I just wanted to relay Kyle's apology for that, and he feels okay about it. I don't feel okay about him being an Avalanche fan, but we're going to just work on that. Show after show after show. But anyways, wrapping up the show with your Guitar Geek trivia question answer. Just as a quick reminder, let me go over the question, which again is focused on my favorite electric guitar player of all time and probably the single individual, the single artist that's responsible for getting me into the blues. Your question was this: how much did Johnny Winter get paid for his August 1969 performance at the Woodstock Festival? Was it A, $500, B, $1,200, C, $2,250, or D, $3,750? Well, if you answered D, $3,750, you're correct. The Woodstock Festival took place in August 1969 and drew about 500,000 people. The festival was host to performances from none other than Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, The Grateful Dead, Joe Cocker, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, amongst many others. We're talking Richie Havens, Country Joe and the Fish, the list goes on and on and on. The star-studded lineup also included up-and-coming blues superstar Johnny Winter, who, for his performance at the festival, was paid $3,750. Hold on, which in today's economy would equate to roughly $26,500. If you're curious as to what Jimi Hendrix made $18,000 at his Woodstock performance. Pretty awesome stuff, and pretty alarming when you see what some of the artists are making when they perform today. Somewhere I read Justin Timberlake was like $1 million or something like that. I thought, wow, that's pretty crazy. Jimi Hendrix, 18 grand. Justin Timberlake, $1 million. I think they're both talented. No knock on Justin Timberlake. I think it's just a sign of the times. Pretty amazing, the price we put on entertainment. Anyways, that's also an ad I should say to check out your local shows, because they don't cost nearly that much. And there's some amazingly talented artists out there that are literally like our next door neighbors. So make sure to check out your local pubs and music joints. Support them. Support your local artists. They need it, and they're pretty darn amazing as well. Well, that does indeed wrap up today's show, but I do have to take a sneak peek into next week because, well, if you're digging these blues shows, I got to tell you, this blues train is going to keep rolling up until we introduce the 5-Day Blues Challenge, which again is happening on January 27th. So if you're thinking, gosh, Tony, what do you have in store for next week that's going to be blues themed? Haven't you tapped it all out? No. Next week on Acoustic Tuesday, we're going to listen to some of the women responsible for shaping acoustic blues. You're also going to learn about a brand new blues guitar, quite possibly the first of its kind, and it has a female name. Yes, next week's episode is going to be dedicated to the females of the blues. And of course, you're going to get more details on the 5-Day Blues Challenge coming up at the end of January, starting on January 27th. I cannot wait to see you there. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for watching and supporting the Acoustic Tuesday show. Thank you for being a guitar geek. Remember, you can catch Acoustic Tuesday every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time here on YouTube. And for your Acoustic Tuesday fix in between Tuesdays, please always do visit acousticlife.tv, where you can do a deep dive on anything I've ever talked about, see the full performances. In fact, those five blues players I talked about today, those full clips are at acousticlife.tv/AT125. Make sure to check that out. Again, thank you so much for sharing your time with us today. We certainly appreciate it. We appreciate you being a guitar geek. And remember, Guitar Geeks Unite. Cheers to you, and I'll see you next Tuesday.